Tonight we want to talk about something that I think is going to affect all of us. Now the Bible put forth two principles. One is that out of the heart flows the issues of life. And the other principle is you can have what you say. So we're going to talk tonight about the power of your words. And your words do have power, whether you wish to believe that or not. See, your tongue can be your worst enemy. Your words, your dreams, and your thoughts, they have power to create conditions in your life. What you speak about, you can also bring about. My mother used to tell me often, she says, whatever you can conceive, you can find a method to achieve. Because there is a creative part of you, of God in you, that gives you the ability to accomplish anything you set your mind to. Now, if you keep saying you can't stand your job, pretty soon you're going to lose it. If you keep saying you can't stand your body, you're going to become sick. If you keep saying you can't stand your car could be stolen or just quit operating. And if you keep saying you're broke, guess what? You're always going to be broke. If you keep saying you can't trust a man or trust a woman, you will always find someone in your life to hurt and betray you. If you keep saying that you can't find a job, you'll remain unemployed. And if you keep saying you can't find someone to love you or to believe in you, your very thought will attract some experiences to confirm your beliefs. Whatever you believe, speak it out of your mouth. And I guarantee you, at some time in your life, you'll see the reality of what you said. Your very thoughts will attract more experiences to confirm your beliefs. If you keep talking about a divorce or breakup in a relationship, then you might as well end up with it. Turn your thoughts and conversations around to be more positive and power-packed with faith, with hope, with love, and with actions. And don't be afraid to believe that you can have what you want and deserve. The minute you settle for less than you deserve, you get even less than you settle for. Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Now, I thought I would share this with you. In my search, I discovered that in the search for truth, I discovered love. And in the search for love, I discovered God. And in God, I have found everything. I would rather live my life as if there is a God and die to find out there isn't than to live my life as if there isn't a God and to die and find out there is. That's a choice that we make. Now, if any man among you, or woman, seem to be religious and biteth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this person's religion is in vain. This is what James said. God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by your tongue and spoken out of your mouth, becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. People that say that they can and people that say that they can't, they're both right. Words are the most important thing in the universe. The words you speak will either put you over or hold you in bondage. Today, many Christian people have been taken captive by their own words, by their own prayer, and the words of their mouth. They have been set in motion a petition and a position where they cannot receive from God. Just think about how you talk to God. See, a lot of times we say we are praying to God, but we are not praying to God. We're talking about God instead of talking to God. That's something that we need to change. People have used their tongue to form the very words that defeat you. You prayed contrary to the word of God. You prayed defeat, and you've received exactly what you prayed for. You prayed the problem, and the problem got bigger. So what I always teach people is, instead of looking at the problem that you are confronted with, stop looking at the problem and look at the answer that you want to receive. And when you begin to look at the answer that you desire to receive, then guess what happened? You'll start working toward receiving that answer that you desire to receive. But as long as you're looking at the problem, you're in a defeated mode, and this is where you're going to stay. Mark 11:24 tells us, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. God's word is a spiritual law. You need to control the words that come out of your mouth and bring them into control and obedience to the word of God. Words governed by spiritual law become spiritual forces working for you. The spirit world is controlled by the word of God. The natural world is also controlled by man speaking God's word. The spoken word is a creative power, whether it be for good or whether it be for evil. Sometimes we pray, Lord, I have prayed and it's not working out. The devil has me defeated. Well, remember the word says that whatsoever you pray, believe and you can have it. Prayer is your legal right to use faith-filled words to bring God on the scene in your behalf or for another so that your joy will be full. God spoke in the beginning and the world came into existence. The universe is still obeying his words. God said it and he let it stay. He said it, he didn't back up, and he didn't say maybe, and he didn't say I hope so. He said, let it be, and it was. God said it by the words of his mouth, and all hell stood up and took notice. In studying the Bible, you'll notice that God never did anything unless he said it first. He said it, then he did it. The power to do it was in his word. The power to operate in your life is in your words. Now, it won't happen overnight, and it may not happen in the next 5 minutes. But if you say it, believe it, trust in the faith, and have the confidence in God, it'll come to pass in your life. If God had said by the, he said, notice what he said. He did not say by the power of his word. He said by the word of his power. Now, there's a difference. If he had said by the power of his word, that would have meant that there is some power in God's word, but not all power. But God's power is in his word, and what he says, he means. And what he means, he says. Now, Mary's acceptance of the promise given her by the angel was in agreement with God's word. Mary said, I receive it. Be it done unto me according to your word. The word of God was planted in her womb. It was the embryo, the seed. And it took flesh, just as the living word of God becomes alive, living, walking, and talking on this earth. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. That was done in Adam. Now, Adam's creation was not complete. God completed the physical creation in Adam, but Adam's disobedience caused the spiritual creation to put on hold. Now, let me explain this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and made everything that exists and placed it in place. When he placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he planted a tree in the midst of the garden that was called the tree of life. And he said, you can have anything in this garden to eat except that tree. Do not eat from that, because the day you eat from that, you're going to die. Well, they disobeyed God and they ate from the tree. Upon eating from that tree, the physical creation was ended. But the Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, wrapped in flesh. He lived, was crucified, died, and raised again. Well, what this means is that the spiritual creation was picked up and continued when Jesus Christ was born. And in the life of Jesus Christ, up to his death, God set up another tree of life. And this tree of life was called the cross of Calvary. So that Jesus said, eat of my flesh, come unto me, whosoever will. This tree of Calvary, if you accept Jesus Christ on the conditions of Calvary, this means that you will have the same right to the tree of life that Adam and Eve was given the promise in the garden for. So when we say they ate from the tree of life and destroyed creation, they did not destroy creation. They only disrupted the physical creation until the fullness of time when God continued the spiritual creation in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan that was done in Adam. God completed the physical creation in Adam, but Adam's disobedience caused the spiritual creation to be put on hold. Adam was not created perfect, but he was created innocent. Had he been perfect, he would not have been able to disobey God. So God had to test Adam by his word, and that is the word of God. Now, what God did was he set up a test in the garden. Adam was, in his creation, basically an automaton. He was totally obedient to God because he didn't know anything but innocence. So God had to give him a test to determine whether he wished to obey his mind or obey the word of God. So God set up the tree called the tree of life in the midst of the garden and told Adam, don't touch it. Now, when he told Adam, don't touch it, this became an important thing in Adam's life. Like a little kid, when you tell him, leave the cookie jar alone, every time you look around, he's trying to steal a cookie out of the jar. Just trying to do it. There's something innate within a person that just wants them and makes them want to do wrong. So God caused this test to be placed in Adam and Eve's life to determine whether they would obey God or whether they would obey their own mind. Now, I've heard people say, pray for me, I'm taking the flu. Well, they got it right. They are taking it. Satan offered it to them, they took it. You've got a runny nose, somebody say, and you've got a neck ache. Now, let's see what you're going to say about it. Well, when you agree with what someone else is telling you that's happening to you, you have just received what they just said was happening to you. People say you sneeze, and somebody say, oh, you're catching a cold. You say, yeah. Well, tomorrow morning, your nose is running, and your throat's sore. But if somebody sneezes, somebody say, well, you're catching a cold, and you say, no, I'm not catching a cold. I just got a little tickle in my nose. It passes as a tickle in the nose, and nothing more happens to it. Most people will side with the devil and begin to say the very thing that the devil says. They'll say, I'm taking a cold. Well, the first thing most people do is run and tell somebody, I believe I'm taking the flu. You release faith in sickness. You have established the word of the enemy. And Jesus said that you can have what you say. The word is, in essence, will stop the healing power from happening in your body. You can cause healing in your body, and you can cause the healing of your body to cease. You can cause blessings in someone else's life, or you can cause blessings in someone else's life to cease, simply from the way you talk about them, to them, or to God. But you need to be positive in your approach to God so that you will always understand and know that God is on your side. When you say what God has already said, God says in his word, he says that by my stripes you're healed. Paul picks up the same statement and says, by his stripes you were healed. In other words, you were healed in a point of time and you're healed right now. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're healed? You say, well, my body's still ache. Yes, it's still ache, but the word of God says that you're healed. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the pain in your body? You're going to believe the word of God. If you believe the pain in your body, you're going to continue to have pain. But if you believe the word of God, as soon as you're able to stand on the word of God and you stay on the word of God, then the pain in your body will begin to subside and go away. Now, ask me. I'm a witness for this. I've had so much pain in my body that I just felt like I just wanted to lay down and go to sleep and not wake up again. But I believe what the Bible says, that by his stripes I am healed, even though I did not feel the healing power at that moment. A couple of days later, I began to feel the healing power, and I began to thank God because he had brought me through that phase. And in my thankfulness to him and my praise in him because he had brought me through, it caused my healing to come even quicker than I had imagined. God's power is in his word. Now, God's word is conceived in your heart. It's then formed by your tongue and spoken out of your mouth, and it becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. See, use your tongue to form the very words that defeat you, as I said earlier. You pray to God contrary to the word of God. We have prayed defeat, and we've received defeat. People pray and say, well, God, if it be your will. But God says that it's my will that all men would turn from thy wickedness and seek my face and live. Well, if you turn from your wickedness and seek God's face and live, God has a responsibility for healing you and keeping you safe and sane. Therefore, you don't need to ask God if it be his will that you be healed, because God has already said that by my stripes I've healed you. So the will to heal is already present. The desire to be healed is within you. You have to speak that desire for yourself, and you have to believe it in your own heart, and you have to speak it out of your mouth. Now, I'm going to tell you some words that you ought to stop saying. I can't. I'm tired. I don't feel like it. I'll do it later. These words are negative and defeative. They will defeat you. They will put you on hold, and then you'll turn around and give the devil power by telling him, the devil made me do that. He did not make you do that. That was a personal choice of yours, that he gave you a desire to blame him, and in blaming him, you neglected the power of God. Your negative words defeated you. How many of you have gotten up in the morning, for instance, and you said to yourself, this is going to be a good day? And you go through the day and you check yourself about 2 o'clock and you find out that things have been going exactly like you wanted them to go. Everything was peachy keen. But on the other hand, how many times have you gotten up in the morning and said, boy, this is one rotten day. I feel terrible. And before lunchtime, what happens? You feel terrible. What I'm saying to you is that you need to program yourself with the word of God. And I tell everybody that I teach that one of the things that you need to do is you need to read and study the word of God. Now, there is a difference between reading the word of God and studying the word of God. You read for enjoyment. You study for enlightenment. Study the word of God. Then write the word of God down if you have to. Put it in your mind. Remember it. So that when you come into a situation that you cannot handle, what you do is you quote that scripture on that word of God, on that problem, and now that problem becomes God's, and God has to honor his word, and you are under the protection of God. It's a simple matter to say to myself, I'm not going to do that. And everybody can say that. I'm not going to do that again. 10 minutes from now, we're doing it again. You say, well, Lord, forgive me for that. Then tomorrow you do the same thing over again. Well, if you're constantly doing the same thing over and over again, did you really mean, Lord, forgive me, the first time you said it? Because if you really meant, Lord, forgive me the first time I said it, then that meant that I would not do it again. Now, this is not to say that you're not going to make those moves going toward that same goal again. But the thing I want to remind you of is that you made a promise to God that you were not going to do that anymore. Now, you have to say to God, now, God, I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to do that anymore. But what I'm going to tell you and going to ask you is that when I find myself in a frame of mind that I am beginning to lean toward that direction, I want you to remind me of this commitment and this promise that I made to you. Then give me the will, give me the strength, and give me the desire to be able to back up and say, thank you, Lord. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? Yes, I'm saying that you got to program your own life. I can't do it for you. I can teach you how to do some things. A school teacher can teach you how to do some things. But in order to become proficient in what you've been taught, you're going to have to exercise it in your own life. And if you exercise the word of God in your life and begin to speak the word of God in your life, you'll find out that your life is going to become a lot more easier than it has been. God does not want any of his children. Well, everybody is not the children of God. Let me correct that right now. People say everybody's a child of God. No, the Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God are called sons of God. But what we're saying is that everybody that wants to do right, the possibility and the provisions for doing right is available to you. You have to make up your mind. You have to speak to yourself. You have to tell yourself, I am going to do right. I am going to obey God. I am going to stop sinning. I'm going to stop doing this, that, or the other. And you'll find out that when you make that move in the opposite direction, there's a, like an old Western lassos, somebody going to lasso you and try to pull you back into what you just came out of. But the thing is, you've got to pull against it and say to it, in the name of Jesus, this thing will not weigh me anymore down. I am free. I will spread my wings and I will soar in the name of Jesus. And when you stand on the word of God, you're standing on the most positive thing that God has given you, and that is his word. And he says, finally, as I end up, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my way is easy and my burdens are light, and I'll give rest unto your soul. Then Jesus said, I'll give you peace, not as the world give you peace, but my peace I lay with you. And then Paul says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So when you're standing on the word of God, when you're speaking the word of God, when you're trying to live according to the word of God, you'll have the peace of God. You'll have the grace of God. The grace of God is something that'll hold you in the midst of your problem. It may not destroy your problem or solve the problem, but it'll hold you in the midst of that problem until the problem's gone. Anybody in here been walking in grace? You're still in the midst of the problem, but you're not worried about it anymore, are you? This is what grace does for you. And grace, my friends, is merely all that God is allowed to do for you on the basis of how you receive the work of Christ on Calvary. And when you can receive the work, finished work of Christ on Calvary, God gives you the grace, the desire, the will, and the promise. Then you can walk in peace for the rest of your days. Amen.